Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, and welcome this wonderful and beautiful day to Joy and Peace Outreach Ministry, where your host is Sadie Elliott. I am so glad that you have tuned in today to the show, and we have an exciting topic. Everyone is health conscious, health, physical, spiritually. But today we're going to break it down not only on the spiritual health, but on the physical health and spiritual health together combined. So today, before we start our show, we're going to have a few moments of prayer. Oh, gracious Father, we just want to say thank you this morning for waking each and every one of us up, dear Heavenly Father, for enclosing us in our right mind, dear Heavenly Father, with portions of health and strength. Dear Heavenly Father, we come none other than to give you all the praise and all the honor this morning. And as we go through the Word of God this morning, dear Heavenly Father, talking about health and healing, dear Heavenly Father, we ask you let it be something that we say that they will see for themselves in the Word of God, in the Scriptures. As we read the Scriptures, dear Heavenly Father, someone will be helped this day. In Jesus' precious and holy name, amen and thank God. Well, today the topic is on health. And I thought that was really fitting, asking God about what we should talk about today. And as you know, health is well-being, physical, mentally, emotional, moral, and especially spiritually. We can be physically sick while mentally, emotionally, morally, socially, and spiritually well. Or we can have health and sickness in any other combination. Just think about that today. Tragic strikes when several of these going gang up on us. Just think about how all this can gang up on you. And they often do. Sometimes emotional sickness or spiritual sickness induced physical sickness, or sometimes we are so physically ill that it can take us down emotionally and spiritually. And at the headwaters of all health is spiritual health, being fit spiritually in tune with the Lord God Himself. And today I have two guests that have tuned in on the line this morning. And I am so glad that they have come on this morning to share the word of God on health this morning. And as I was going through that, my body was attacked. And I'll give a testimony quickly on yesterday because the enemy knew what I was planning on doing today. But I stopped him in his tracks. He tried to attack my body in a health, because I'm going to talk about health today. But I let him know that nothing he did, I could see what way he was coming, and that God was going to be the healer of this body and this mind, emotionally, morally, spiritually, mentally, and physically. So today, when we start off our program, we have two guests that have tuned in our broadcast today. And I want to say good morning to our guests that have come in on the show this morning. How are both of you all doing this morning? We have Pastor Varians from Florida on. We have Evangelist Brian that have tuned in with us this morning from Illinois. And we're so glad to have both of you all today. I know y'all are waiting. Y'all are just chipping at the bits this morning. And we're going to bring the woman of God on this morning and see what she has to say this morning, talking about health on the well-being, physically, mentally, emotionally, morally, and spiritually this morning. You are now on the air. Hello?
Good morning.
Good morning.
God bless you. How are you this morning?
I feel a whole lot better. Praise God. Praise God. I mean, that service last night, whew, thank you. I thank you for the men and women that prayed for me last night on the line. I mean, I feel the enemy was still trying to tug at me this morning. But I said, I know the God that I serve. He is able. And he will keep me. Yeah. And we have Evangelist Brian that is listening in also. He's going to come on in a few minutes and tell us what God has shared with him.
Amen.
Evangelist Brian, are you in?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. All right. What have God told you or spoke to your heart on health from the Word of God? Health and healing.
Well, one thing about being health and healing, and you got a natural side and you got a spiritual side, and most of the time we are tackled on the outward, and the spirit man, is, it's been tacked too. But the Bible says that John, 3 John says that, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper, be in health, even as thy soul prospers." If you look at that, if your soul is not prospering, that means that you're not in good health. That means that something's going wrong with the inward as well as the outward. So the inward man would have to get. They didn't have to get the right ingredients for them to keep it healthy, to walk in good health. And the spiritual man had to have the same thing for the spiritual man. That's where God tells us exactly how to keep health. There's a lot of saints everywhere don't know how to keep health. When you get your healing, you got to learn how to keep your healing. If you don't keep your healing, well, You're attacked again. But see, that's what God tells us, how to be alert at all times, because you're walking through this world and there's all kinds of diseases attacking different people, and some of these that have never even heard before yet is attacking the body. But it's God's will for us not to be to receive that type of sickness in our body. We can prevent that by what we do and how we perform and how we act, how we take on, how we put the word on, or how we, what we eat. If you don't watch what you're eating, if you don't be careful what you eat, or you don't pay attention what you eat, God gives us the food to eat, but he tells us what to eat and what not to eat. So you bring sickness up on your body, or you'll be opened up for this, like you said, you were attacked by something, you don't know what it was. Well, that's come by the enemy. The enemy, he knows. He knows how to get the weakness of you. He knows how to attack your body. He knows how to set things up, and you may not be aware of it. But if you be attentive, watch what you do. If God wants us to walk in good health, that means that we got to do what it says to keep our health. In other words, when a person gets his healing, he got to learn how to keep that healing. If you don't know how to keep the healing, well, you're going to be attacked again. But if you know how to keep it, you prevent it. You can prevent it by your words. Your words plays the part of how you say what you got, and you have what you say. If you say you're sick, well, you're sick because you say you're sick. But if you say, I'm coming down with a healing, well, you come down with a healing. You don't say exactly what the symptoms is, because if you tell exactly what the symptoms is, you have exactly that word, what you just spoke, and it happened right then and there because you kept bringing it up. And the more you bring it up, the more it really gets worse. And to go by your feeling, how you feel. But if you go by your feeling, you're going to keep feeling like that. But if you get up, the Bible says a merry heart feels good like medicine. Well, the heart, as long as we get into the heart, it brings merry, or it brings joy, it brings peace. You can laugh, and you get your healing by laughter. The laughter turns the bigger part up. Joy comes, and the healing comes because God wants you to have good health. He don't want us to be divine. He don't want us to be to the point where we ain't healthy. If you don't get help, if you go to the doctor, they give you a physical examination. Well, the Bible is in the same way. It takes a physical examination. It's an instruction how to be wealthy, how to stay well, where you stay healthy and well. You can keep diseases from you, but what we learned about how the instruction of the manual to keep us well, that we can walk, and people wonder, how do you say well? Well, because you take the word, and you take the word, and you begin to look at the word, and examine the word, and the word will keep you, how you approach the word, how you learn how to keep it governed by what God said in his word. Now, it's God's will for all of us to be in good health, because that's the promise of his word. You don't want us to be sick. Sickness comes from the devil, because the devil comes through one thing. That's to try to destroy you. He don't want you to have good health. He wants to bring bad health to you. When he brings that bad health to you, well, you're walking into bad health because you've taken on something. But Proverbs said in the 4th chapter of Proverbs, it's the 20th, he said, my son, attend to my word. He said, now incline thy ear unto my faith. And he said, let them not depart from thy eyes. Keep them. Now he said, don't let them depart. When he keeps them in the midst, you got to keep them in the midst. If you keep them in the midst of thy heart, you got to keep them in the midst of the heart. The heart has the physical heart as well as the natural heart. We live on words. We live in my words are, we live about what you put in this, which is called the body, which is called the cloak, which is the body of the dust. What you put in this body determines how you live and how you can live day by day, what you put in. So, you, like you said, body exercise is nothing, but it's something about when you exercise it in the word. It exercises what you, in the natural, you exercise. But the exercise comes. Oh,
Well, as we were talking about health today, you know, health is a treasure gift from God. And in Psalms 103, 1-3, it's just telling us about he forgave all our sins and healed all our diseases, not just mine, yours, and everybody. He healed all our diseases. Right. And we look at it, sin is a terminal illness. Yeah. God is the great physician. And in Jeremiah, as I was reading in the 30th chapter and the 12th verse, let me see, I'm going to turn right back to it right quick. I dropped one Bible, but I get another one up because I had two or three before me. But in Jeremiah, it said, you are beyond the help of any medicine. That's when the sin is a terminated illness. Yes. And Romans 6:23 said, the wages of sin is death. But the great gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Here, these verses is showing how incredible sin is. It is a terminal disease leading not merely to death, but external death. But God can heal and restore spiritual health through his gift of salvation. You know, as I was reading that, I say, my. Sin. When you look at it, sin. And we're still talking about health. It's a terminal illness. But God is the great physician.
Right.
Mm. And you know, when you are afflicted with a health problem, you have to let God show his great strength to you. His power is greater in our weakness. And if everyone have their Bible that has tuned in, turn to 2 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, and the 7th through the 10th verse. And we're going to read what that says. It's talking about, unless the word of God said, unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation that was given to me, a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buff me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord twice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. And verse 10 said, therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproach, in necessities, in precautions, in distress for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. And, you know, and they're talking about in necessities, in persecution, in distress for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. When I read that, you know, I was given a thorn in my flesh 3 different times. And I begged the Lord to take it away. Each time he said, my power works best in your weakness. And, you know, when we are weak, God's power and strength can be more easily seen in us. When we think we are self-sufficient, God will not exercise his greatest strength in us. So we got to turn everything over to God. Let him work in his strength, not ours, because we don't have nothing. We can't do nothing without God. Mm-hmm. Ooh, is perseverance on yet?
Clear.
Okay. You have something you want to say on that right now?
I would just, you know, hope that people really understand that, you know, in our weaknesses, he makes us strong. And, you know, that's something that I'm learning, you know, as I go. You know, it's not something that is previously, you know, learned or acquired, because through everything that we go through, God is teaching us something.
Yes,
you know,
right.
It's up to us to understand, okay, I'm going through this for a reason. And the reason that he's allowing us to go through things for so long is because he's perfecting us. And he's bringing us to the level that he needs us to be on. Not the level that we want to be on, but the level that he needs us to be on in order to help other people. Because if I never go through anything, if I never know what it really means to be persecuted or perplexed or distressed or to be discriminated against or to be treated harshly, when I encounter someone who comes and they're dealing with that situation, I won't know how to comfort them.
Uh-huh.
I will not know how to help them because I've never been in that situation myself. So it's not saying, oh, somebody who hasn't been in a certain situation can help you. God can use anybody to give you a word when you need a word. But God preferably likes to use people who've been in that situation so that you can first relate to them and then receive the word from them.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people won't allow people to speak to them that don't know what they've been through.
All right.
You don't need actually to speak to somebody who does not understand you. If you haven't been where I've been, how can you really understand me? You cannot understand me. So the advice that you would give me would be judgmental and hypocritical because you don't know yourself what it feels like to be in that exact situation.
All right.
And that's why God allows us to go through things most of the time. You know, it's not easy. It's very hard. You know, people like to make it out to be something that's just, this is just, you know, when you look at what Paul was saying, you know, I rejoice in my infirmities and my distresses and the things I'm going through, that was an afterthought. That wasn't something he was thinking when he was going through that stuff. I can tell you that. When you're going through something, you're not going, I rejoice in the name of Jesus. You know, it don't work that way. But when you understand and you sit down and you're in your quiet time, you go, you know what? I rejoice in that because that didn't do anything but make me stronger and make me smarter and wiser and make me have more of the wisdom of God in me. That's what he really was talking about. So I hope that people don't get it misunderstood that when you're going through something, you're supposed to be running around and smiling and happy and all. Look, that will not happen. And if you are, 9 times out of 10, you're actually off the bridge, so to speak. You know, you lost some of your marbles if you're running around. And you're distressed and perplexed. And you're smiling and happy.
Oh, Lord, we have another guest that have tuned on. We're going to, guest caller, you are now on the air.
God bless you, woman of God. This is Pastor Stephen Amaker. Good morning.
Hi,
good
Pastor
morning
Stephen. How
Pastor.
You doing? Good morning.
To Pastor Variance, good morning. I'm so glad to
good
be
morning.
Here. Let me say I'm still rejoicing off the service last night that the Lord allowed us to share in. That we had a wonderful time. And just to comment on self-control.
Yeah.
I'm a student. I'm a student of self-control, especially when it comes by the Holy Ghost. In my married life, there were some things that my wife would do that would aggravate me. Oh, it would just make me so upset. And I went to the Lord. I said, Lord, look at the stuff that my wife is doing. And the Lord came back. He says, now, I want you to understand, the closer you get to me, the more I'm going to show you you.
Mm.
And I said, well, okay.
That's right.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
So then the Lord began to work on me, not her. A lot of the stuff she still does. But the Lord worked on me, on my self-control, that I don't even, a lot of stuff, I don't even say nothing about. God, the Holy Ghost said, don't say that. Don't even say nothing. Don't even address it. And that's where we have to come, you know, that don't only just spill off on my wife, but now it's spilled off in my driving. It's spilled off with other people. It's spilled off. In all facets of my life, when I'm dealing with people in the ministry, dealing with people in church, and you just self-control.
Yeah.
I haven't perfected it yet. But sometimes, some things you just need to tell some people and stop playing with them. But then some things you just need to just, hey, okay, Lord, we're not going to self-control. Self-control is a virtue. It's not a weakness. It's a virtue. It's a strength to be able to control your temper, to be able to control your tongue, to be able to control your attitude towards people and stuff. I'm reminded of a story. The young ladies walked into church. So there was a lady sitting on the back row. And when the lady walked in, she looked at her. And they met eyes and everything. And so she went and told her friend, said, look at the way that lady looking at me. And so the whole service went on. And so the woman, she said this, and I cannot believe how that lady looked at me when I came in this church. And so at the end of the service, she went to the usher and says, listen, I was very upset about how this young lady on the back row looked at me when I came in the door. And the usher said, don't pay her no mind. He said, Miss, she's cross-eyed. She looked at everybody that way. So you take it, you know, you. Some people don't have done things or said things, don't even know what they said, don't even know what they done. And you sitting there upset and aggravated and angry and all upset and everything, and they don't even know they did it. My wife was telling me, and I'm going to stop. My wife was telling me yesterday on her at the office, somebody walked in and used her microwave. And when they opened the microwave and closed it to put their food in, my wife said, she told me, said, listen, don't slam my door like that on my microwave. And so my wife and the young lady was talking and everything. So the lady took her food out, slammed the door again. My wife said, didn't I tell you not to slam my door like that? The lady said, oh, I'm so sorry, Lady A. She said, my microwave is broke at home, and that's the way I got to close it. So you taking things and getting all bent out of shape about nothing.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about nothing. And I just want people of God to just look before you react. Before you react, look at the matter. Look at the reason. What is, and then watch this. Worst of all, is a distraction from the devil to get you off focus. You should be praying and meditating on the things of God. Instead, you sitting there biting your lip because you mad and upset with somebody. Now, that hour that you're doing that, the Holy Ghost says, I wanted me and you to spend that hour together. But instead, you got distracted with nothing. So many things that the Holy Ghost wants us to come overcome and not be distractions. We're in a critical, pivotal time right now. This May, this month of May, this month of June, this month, these coming days, we're in a critical, critical time in the body of Christ, and we got to stay focused on God and not the junk that the devil is sending our way to distract us.
That's right. That's why today we are talking about health and exercising is good for us physically and spiritually, and we are coming from 1 Timothy 4:8. And it was talking about the physical exercise has some value, but spiritual exercise is more important. For it is a promise, a reward in both this life and the next. You know, and as our body needs exercise to keep physical fit, so our spiritual need exercise, practicing being a better Christian to keep fit spiritually. I'm telling you. As I was reading in that, this, you know, in 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter and the 43rd verse, it was saying, why do we get sick? And other words, our bodies now disappoint us, but when they are raised, they will be full of glory. They are weak now, but when they are raised, they will be full of power. You know, our physical bodies are victim to physical ailments, but our souls are also victim to spiritual ailments. God can heal either or both. And I think about how I was attacked yesterday, because I come to conclusion. You're going to talk about health tomorrow on your broadcast. And the enemy is trying to come in like a flood, but you see how he coming in. But you're going to warn him off. Even no matter what he's trying to make you feel, you're not going to stop serving God. You're going to give God the praise. Anyhow, you're going to give him anyhow praise. But no matter what it is that's trying to attack you, you're going to press your way through this here. Like Pastor Varian said, you ain't gonna come out just being joyful and grinning. No, I got some pain, but I'm coming out of this pain. I'm coming out of this thing he trying to put me in. Hey.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. Holding unforgiveness.
Huh.
Holding animosity.
Mm.
Holding anger. Holding stuff that really you shouldn't be holding, that wears on your physical body.
Yes.
A lot of the sicknesses and ailments that are suffered in this body is due to unforgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
Stuff leads to stuff. Holding
mm-hmm.
anger leads to stuff. Cancer,
yeah.
High blood pressure. All these, your body is fighting against it, but your spirit and your mind is holding it. And every time ulcers, where do you think ulcers come from?
Uh-huh.
People are sitting there and just worrying about people and stuff and junk and everything.
Mm.
Just worrying. If you pray, don't worry. If you worry,
that's
then
right.
Don't pray.
Don't pray. Ah, that's right. That's right. Oh, gee, we have another caller come in. Let's see what this caller has to say. Good morning, caller. You're now on the air.
Good morning. How you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
All right. Thanks for asking. I want to make a comment on the topic. Yes, everything is what you're saying is true about staying spiritual fitness, because we're in the war right now, which meaning that we have to be aware of who speaks the word in our life, because if we recognize who we are in Christ, can't no one tear that down. But the enemy, he's our enemy for sure, which meaning that, like the thing that was spoken earlier about worrying, and people say, I don't have no money, I can't do this and I can't do that. And see, I've been through stuff in my life when, you know, I was in a church and everything like that, is that the bad people that you thinking is praying for you now, they can pray against you in the spirit.
All right. Uh-huh.
Yeah, which meaning that now you can be praying to God about overcoming a situation. But at the same time, you wonder why you ain't answering my prayer, Lord, why is this going on? Which means about the Lord tell us to keep ourselves healthy. Paul even spoke about it in 2 Corinthians about the flesh. The spirit is with him, but the flesh is weak.
Mm-hmm.
We can talk all day long, but when we at the house by ourselves, when we with God by ourselves, God going to judge us according to what we did, what we said and what we done. It's like if you eat the wrong thing and know you ain't got no business eating, you're going to bring harm to your flesh. But if you read the wrong thing, you can read the wrong thing too. There's many books flying out here, many books
mm-hmm.
talking about the Lord this and the Lord that. See, and we'd be so quick. See, we'd be so eager at times. We'll go read a book at the store or something, and we don't know what that guy was experiencing when he wrote that passage about God or his life. So I have read some things in my life that I'm like, Lord, now you telling me one thing, and I feel in my spirit that, you know, my spirit is like, right now my spirit don't feel good. So it's like something that I read or something somebody told me or something. Somebody can come right now and just tell you, oh, you ain't going to be nothing. His order for you is you going to sit there and let that damage you, or you going to stand on your feet. And see, be aware of what church you go to, because God tells us this. There will be many false prophets in the last day. We don't know who false and we don't know who fake.
That's right.
And because
that's
God,
so true.
Like, you have the tares and you have the wheat. We the wheat. The Christians is the wheat. And the tares is Satan's people. See, we don't know who God's showing. You can't tell the God's folks from the sinners right now, because you go in the church, they got their hands sewed up in the air just like you.
All right. All right. Yeah. Ooh, we were talking about that. Ooh, Jesus. Mm. Not getting off our top, but young man, we were just talking about that last night, what you just said. And we have to be on one accord in one place.
Yes, like. Yes, one place and one accord. And see, the Holy Spirit, see, we look at it like this here.
Mm.
We want to sit there and we want to see what our problem is as Christians. Like you said, we ain't on one accord.
Uh-huh.
We claim it. So you can't be on one accord mad because the lady done led the song Sunday. And then after you get out of church, yeah, I see so much stuff going on in the churches now, it just confuses. It's like, I stay on the street right now, I got like 5 different churches on one block, okay? Now, I talked to one of my friends the other day. Now, he's on crack real bad. He smoked dope. Okay? Now, I looked at him physically. I said, man, this guy crack is eating this man up. But his spiritual life is not there. It's not the flesh. It's the spirit. Now, if your spirit's strong, see, your spirit brings life to your body.
Mm-hmm.
See, you can be the worst man that is, like Saul, for example, before God changed him into Paul. See, Saul was getting the Christian persecuted.
Right.
And one day, I'm going to just use him for example, and I'm going to go back to my friend. One day, God said, okay, I'm going to put an end to Saul. I'm going to put an end to all this. God didn't let Saul know when he's coming. God just went on here and let Saul take the Christian, get him persecuted. But one day on the road to Damascus, that's when God showed up. And see, one day in our life, God's going to show up. We don't know when God's going to show up because this idea is in the book of Job. When Satan went up there to God and asked God about, to ask God, said, Satan, have you tried my servant Job? See, God didn't let Job know that him and Satan had that conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Read the book. God didn't let Satan know that. If God would have let Job know that Satan was coming and, you know, take the kids and do all this to you, that would have gave Job time to say, okay, God, what must I do? See, God gonna come at your weakest hour. God gonna come when you think you done failed him. You know, God gonna come when you think it's all over. But in the meantime, what are you reading? What preacher you listening to? Because you can be listening to a see. People say this nowadays. It don't make a difference what the pastor gonna be smoking drugs. It don't make a difference what he do as long as he's speaking the truth. I say that's negative. Because we look at it like this right here. Now, if you call yourself a man of God or a woman of God, what in the world you look like out there smoking drugs, doing this with the sinner, doing this? It's like, really, that person really can't tell me nothing unless I know it's the Holy Spirit himself.
You're not a man of God.
You see what
I'm
saying?
You're not a man of God. The Bible says that you are of your father, the devil. Anytime a person is not doing the will and living according to the word of God, from now on, my brother, you know, okay, just like a guy walk up to you and say, I'm your brother. And you know your father having made this brother.
Right.
So you say, and the guy say, but no, man, I'm your brother. You ain't my father's son. So that's how we have to look at people who come to church and say, oh, everybody's God's children. No, that is a lie. God made everybody, whether God made man, true, but everybody is not of God. And the Bible says, Jesus said, that when you do not do the things of God, then you are of your father, the devil.
The devil. This is what they told
you. You're saying the man is smoking dope. He is of his father, the devil. That's not a man of God. He ain't got no business preaching. He ain't got no business saying nothing in no pulpit. And that's the problem with the body of Christ. And now we got sinners telling sinners, how can the blind lead the blind, Jesus said? Let's say both fall into this. Why can't he tell me that he's a sinner and I'm a sinner? You ain't got no light. You can't show no light. You can't show me where to go.
Right, right. Darkness, this is what they told us. They said, Jesus, your mother, brother, and sisters out here want to see you. Jesus looked, they said the Bible, the word said Jesus looked and pointed his disciples and said, these, my mother, brother, sister, and father, the one to do the will of my father, which meaning that, now, I can't put nothing on nobody but God tell us. See, Jesus said, when they asked, they said, Jesus, they were talking about judging. Jesus said, it's not me that doing the judging. It's the Father that's doing the judging through me, which meaning that.
And then watch this. We got the Word. You got the Bible. I'm not judging you. The Bible is judging you. And if I read Right here where in the Bible it says live holy, and you're not doing it. I didn't judge you. The Bible judged you. The Bible just said, here it is in black and white. It's in the book. Thou shalt live holy and love the Lord thy God and serve him with all thy mind. Okay. So now when you see a person not living holy, then guess what? I didn't judge you. I'm just reading to you. Like I tell people, I didn't write the letter. I'm just the postman. I'm delivering the mail. That's all I'm doing. That's all we to do. Deliver the mail. People say, oh, you can't judge nobody. The Bible, I don't have to judge you. The Word judge you by itself. And that's going to be, and then the Bible says that we, watch this, that the righteous should judge not only the angels, but we should judge the world.
Right. That's it.
So I am your judge. I am your judge.
This is what it is. I can judge
what you're doing.
This is what it is. It's not me that's on crack. It's my friend.
I'm not saying that, sir.
So listen to this. It's my friend. And see, you must have misunderstood me. I said there's people in the church now that does these things. Now, I know it's not right.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying?
I wasn't addressing my statements to you. I was addressing my statements to what you said.
Right, which meaning that this is how I look at it like this here. I've been through stuff in my life. You see what I'm saying? Which meaning that, now if I say, I can look at people and say, yeah, that's not a man of God. I got the right to judge according to the word of God, like I got the right to judge you if you're doing something foolish. But what I'm saying is this. Give that man, I ain't talking about the false prophets. I'm talking about the ones that's dying spiritually right now. You see what I'm saying? Them the ones that need us not to be arguing over the scripture, because the Lord said do not do that. And see, God need us to be strong warriors, which means that we need to sit out. See, that's the problem. We think we know it all. If we would just throw away our knowledge and take upon the knowledge of God, maybe the body of Christ won't be so sick as it is right now. You see what I'm saying? God said he come back for a church without spot or wrinkle. Are you wrinkled? Look in the mirror at yourself. Judge yourself right now. Look in the mirror at yourself and say, God, now I know I'm a wretched man, but please help me within myself, because, Lord, I can't do it myself. Which meaning that we don't judge nobody falsely. We judge according to the word. I'm saying my friend that's on crack. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He's the one being rejected and denied, which they telling him, oh, it ain't no rule for you in here. How in the world can you get so holy and so religious that you guys say repent? Repent meaning to turn. Leave that mess on the ground. Leave it on the ground. Don't go pick it up. Leave it on the ground. Keep walking towards the kingdom of God. Keep your head straight up in the air, which meaning that throw away all that you think you know so God can fill you up. See, God can't fill you up because your cup too full. If they are what you got in your cup, set an empty cup on the table and say, God, fill my cup up.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's
so what we're talking about then is a good Samaritan then, the person that and went to tend to the person's wounds and went to care for the person and went to actually be there for him, when we talked about also in that same scripture that it was the priest and the scribe who walked right by them, you know, the people who were supposed to be, you know, of God, the people who were supposed to be the people that you can go to and talk to and get help from, but those were the same people who walked right by the man. And it was a complete stranger, the Samaritan, that came by and said, hey, you know, you need help, let me help you, let me, you know, address these wounds, let me take you to where you can sit down and get you some help. And that is the problem, exactly what you're talking about, that is the problem in the body. We're not helping people, but the problem with us not helping people is if we have not first been helped ourselves, we can't help others. If what's on the inside of me is not godly, you know, it's evil, it's hate, it's malice, it's envy, it's jealousy, it's pride, it's arrogancy, it's all of those things, I can't help you. I mean, if I can just stop and help you, you can't hold my shit walking. To tell you the truth, if a person like that, and got all that stuff on the inside of them, does stop to help you, you're going to be worse off if they stop and help you than if you were to let them just pass you by, to tell you the truth.
Exactly. See, that's what I'm talking about, and it's like this right here. I mean, we can't We see that. That's the problem. That's the problem. If people would stop being, see, this is what we want to do. We like it. Sometimes we like them Pharisees and Sadducees, teachers of the law, people like that. And see, God, Jesus, God sent us on a mission. God sent us. He sent. We have to be out there. We have to reach those people. I don't care how you reach them. Make sure that you be found doing something. I mean, everybody might not have the gift of prophecy. Everybody might not be no great teacher. God just might use you today, right now, to say good morning to somebody. With a smile, you ain't got to say good morning. God might have you to walk in the grocery store right now this morning with a smile on your face. And that smile on your face might help two or three people in that store that's going through something right now. See, that's the problem. Sometimes we get Christianity wrong. We want to be God. We need to move back and let the Holy Spirit be the Holy Spirit, and we just need to be the servants.
That's it.
Yeah, y'all know I would. This is so good, and our time is up, but we can continue on talking on this hill. We are off the air, ladies and gentlemen, but this topic, I am listening. I haven't say the word because I'm trying to get it always. So if y'all want to keep talking, I'm right here. Go ahead. We just off the air right now.
We're not off the air. You're on the live, but the computer will continue to, so when you put up your archives, they'll hear the conclusion. Of this broadcast? Until you hang up, or the computer will tell you your time is up. So, like you said,
we'll keep going then.
I got something right here, and it's Mark 10 chapter. It's down like on the 32nd. It's like 29th verse. I tell you, this is what Jesus said.
Mark what?
Mark 10,
okay.
29 through like the 30. If I want 30, 31, I want to read something Jesus said. This script is so powerful. Jesus said this. I tell you the truth. Jesus replied, "No one who has left home, our brothers, our sisters, our mother, our father, our children, our fields for me and the gospel, will fail to receive 100 times as much in present age, homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and fields, and with them persecution." And that's what God was telling us, which means that sometimes you have to leave your so-called blood family members, which means that they can be hindering your process of growing. Mm-hmm. And you see what I'm saying? And then this is what got me. I asked the Lord about this. What you mean by persecution? This is what the Lord told me, the persecution, which meaning that people's going to persecute you, Christian. You've been getting persecuted lately? Who told you God ain't called you to do your blog talk radio? Who told you you need to stop blog talking? Who told you you need to stop praying? Who told you you need to stop doing this? Watch yourself, Christian. Don't you know we're in a war? Don't you know your adversary, Satan, he prowls around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may destroy? Satan, a death sentence was sent out to us a long time ago at the cross.
Amen.
You see what I'm saying? We need to stop fighting each other spiritually.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
You see what I'm saying?
Brothers shall not go to war against brothers with the law. Mm.
And see, we cutting each other up. We cutting each other up. God know we cutting each other up.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've been cut by so-called Christians. I ain't just on this phone for no reason. I was in the church 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
People that say that was my brothers and sisters in Christ, and guess what? I got cut. And guess what? I found myself by myself trying to pick my own self up with the help of the Holy, with the grace of God, which means that we can talk about scriptures all day long, but Jesus, Paul said this, if I have not, I can preach, I can prophesy, do all these other good things, but if I have not shown no love, it don't count for nothing. Love each other, brothers and sisters. Stop talking that mess of love. What's wrong with you? You
yes,
ain't
Lord.
Showing no love yet.
Come on.
See, you can
let
talk.
Me say this.
Talk
let
but
me say
you
this. Please.
That's right.
Let me say this. I agree with the love. and everybody that you listen to, all four of us that's on this phone right now, and I hear another person in the background, the five of us that are listening to this conversation, we've all been wounded.
Yeah.
Brother, I got horror stories. I'm telling you, I got horror stories. Horror stories. I mean, one of those, like when you go to the movies and you see Chucky meet the wolf man, them kind of horror stories.
Hey, I got Friday the 13th and Michael Myers over here, too.
I'm telling you.
So, I mean, we all got horror stories, and that is what makes, watch this now. This is what gives us character and integrity.
Yeah.
These things, God didn't allow these things to come into our life to kill us. He brought it into our life to make us men and women of God who he wants us to be. And in the Bible, you stand up for holiness. Hello. Holiness. Holiness.
Separated.
You stand up for holiness, you're going to be persecuted because people don't want to hear holiness. They want to hear, let me shout, let me dance, let me do whatever I want to do. Live in my sin. Live in my sin and preacher tell me I'm okay with God. Then you're going to get persecuted. Anytime you say no, come out your sin. Come out from shacking. Come out from laying up. Come out from smoking. Come out from drinking. Come out from, and watch this. The Bible says come out from among them. He was not talking about the world. He was talking about the ones that's in the church that is doing sin. Come out from among them that are in the house of God that are living in sin and be separate.
Make a
distinction between clean and unclean.
And unclean.
Holy and unholy.
Yeah.
And anytime you do that, you're going to be persecuted. No, I'm not. Yes, but you know what? Because you cannot contradict the Bible. The Bible says strive for perfection.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus says be perfect.
That's the problem, though. Those people who are actually helping them are not help themselves, though. We can't get them people who haven't been helped to help other people, though.
That's it.
And that's where a lot of people get wounded in that church, because you have so many people in the church who have not actually been helped, who have not actually allowed, you know, Jesus and God and the Holy Spirit to really work on them, telling somebody else about something. That cannot work that way.
Well,
it can't happen. The Bible tells us, judge not, lest you be judged. Because I can't sit here and go, oh, that's wrong. You shouldn't be over there shacking up. And I'm over here smoking or drinking or whatever it is that I'm over here doing. I can't tell you that. Or let's say I don't do any of those things. But let's say I'm a hypocritical person. Let's say I'm a judgmental person. Let's say I'm a person that feels like I do everything right and everybody else is the only person that does something wrong. I can't help you either because I first have not been up in those areas myself. God got to deal with me with those things that I choose not to see first before I can go to you and go, okay, let's work on this, my brother or my sister. But even when I do go to you, because I'll talk about those things, let's say God do ask me to go to you and talk to you before I've actually been helped, I still got to go over there in meekness. I got to go over there in love. I got to go over there and go, okay, you know what? This is what God is telling me to tell you. You know, it's not what I'm telling you. It's what he's telling you. And if you want to, I would love to walk with you together. Let's learn together. Let's grow together. Let's pray together. Let's worship together. Let's let God work on us together. But if I have not come to you in that way, I can't help you.
Yep. Exactly right.
I just want to say this. I think the Bible is what you call an X-ray technician and search the inward part of every one. That's what the Bible is an illustration of my do's and I don'ts. It take you in and check you out, check you up and check you out. So it's an examination that we got to do. And everything that we say out of our mouth, we hold responsible what we say out of our mouth. It says the same measurement, if you say out that measure, will come back unto you. And just how we approach God, how we live God, how we take the word for ourselves as well as we're giving it out to somebody else. We're we're still responsible for our actions, how we live according to the Word of God, because the Bible is an X-ray technician. It will examine us.
Yes.
And we the first who take it up. It's our action, how the world look at us. And like you said, if you got a lot of people in the church not living according to the Word of God, and you got people that want to live right, and you got people that want to be in the church, and that's it. And you don't find everybody together, because we're actually supposed to be bound by the same rules. Every church has got a different culture about God's word, and they have to. That's what they stupid.
And that's the problem,
right?
That's the problem, because every church you go down to, one church, man said they're holy. Go to the next door to the next church, brother said there's five churches on his block. Okay. You go to the next door, one guy say, okay, you don't have to live holy, but you can smoke and drink over here. Then you go to the next church, the guy say, well, you don't have to live holy. You can shack and do all kinds of stuff, commit fornication and adultery. Then you go to the next church, and then everybody got their own. And see, what's so bad about that is that when you go looking for a church,
you can't find one, right?
No, but you choose a church that, you know what, I can be comfortable in here. That's how you choose your church. You say, I can be comfortable.
Right.
Why? Because he don't preach on what I'm dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
He don't tell me I got to be holy. I'm saying, when you go for a church, you look for the church that challenges not only your spirit, but your flesh.
Right.
Crucify the flesh.
Yes.
Right. Okay, this place, it challenges me to live holy. Okay, this is where I'm going to be. Okay, it challenges me to crucify my flesh. This is where I'm going to be. And these are the criteria right now in the body of Christ for choosing the church is on a feel-good gospel. Whatever feels good, that's where I'm going. Whatever feels good to my flesh. Oh, they got an awesome choir. Oh, that music department is setting up. Oh, that man know how to rev back and shake that mic in front of his face. This is it. You don't choose a wife that way.
Oh, man.
Even in that, they got to choose a church with people who still examine themselves. Because you can find a whole bunch of people who will examine everybody else.
But then that's because you are like I'm trying to say, you're part of the fruit.
Mm-hmm.
If you go into church and only five people are living holy and the other 195 people are not, then you're in the wrong place. You're in the wrong place. That's not the right church. Because then the fruit is not being right. The fruit is the 95 that is not living holy.
All right.
That's the fruit. Because you are, as Pastor Evangelist was saying, you are what you eat. That's what we started out talking about. Your health is the health of the spiritual man, the health of the physical man.
That's right.
That makes a difference. That makes a difference. Right. I'm sorry to say about a wife. You don't choose a wife because she got a nice figure and, oh, she looks so good to my eye. Huh.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what? That going to wear off in a couple of days.
That's right.
That going to wear off. Because when she started having a couple of babies, that figure just left. When you get to really, really know her, and she's a nasty woman. She don't like to clean. She don't like to wash dishes. She don't like to straighten up the house. And you done made her your wife without first examining what you got.
Yee!
Now you stuck. And now you talk about, I got to get rid of her. Why? You should stay there because you picked her.
Mm-hmm.
You were determined, I got to have you. And then that's the same thing about church. You come in church, this got to be my church. But you didn't examine.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
What is going on in here?
Watch this.
And this is what the Lord just spoke to me the other day in the message in the Sunday morning a couple of weeks ago while I was preaching. He said, now You came in, okay, you joined the church. You walk in the door. You got your issues already, and you come into the house of God for deliverance. But instead of getting deliverance, now you're walking out the church talking about, man, I sure feel like a drink. Mm. Wait a minute, evangelist, you told me you don't drink.
Yeah, buddy,
but I know I need me a drink right now. I just got a taste for it. You just contracted another demon. Where? Where did you get that demon from? The house of God.
Hey!
Right.
Jesus!
Right.
Jesus.
You,
Lord.
Now,
Lord.
The house of God has become a demon's hideout. The Lord spoke to me a couple of months ago. He said that the demons are coming into God's house and say, guess what? They'll never find us here.
Yeah.
Mm.
In God's house. The demons
in
are hiding out in what's supposed to be God's house. It's not God's house, but what's supposed to be God's house in the church, let me say like that, the physical building. People, and the demons are hiding out in the church, and they're spanking to each other saying, they'll never find us in here.
Yep.
You're supposed to be able to see
happening.
That demon a mile away.
That's right.
You know what you said just a while ago, and then about a year or so, and God gave me to tell the pastors to be on their watchtower, because
mm-hmm.
there were spirits invading in the church. Demon spirits come and sit right among them, and sheep wool, and sitting there, turn the people up, and people receiving spirits that are receiving the word of God, because the men of God. Pastors were not seeking God. They were just come ministering, but they weren't seeking God. And that opened a wide target for the enemy to come in and take advantage for the people that's in the church. The people come in there. The people go in, they come out the same way they went in. They didn't get what God wanted them to have. That's why the spirits are just more pregnant now in the churches everywhere. They are loose, and they know they got a short time to do what they have to do, so they're trying to invade. They're invading on people that thought they had so much of God in their lives that the enemy didn't come in and then drove the things that God had in and drove it out of them. Because as the Bible said, that the devil come to do one, he come to sift you as wheat. That's
wheat.
What he's doing. He's in the church. The church is getting sifted. And you got all kinds of things going on in the church, and they should not be, but saints are not watching. They're not praying. They're not careful what they do. They're just taking this thing for example, taking it lightly. And then God said, send a warning, and the people just they don't pay attention. And they got to get to the point that they got to being open up to God, where God can cleanse. There's a cleansing that God want to do for the church. Now, you know, since y'all brought up some great issues about problems that are going on in different areas of life. Of the people of God, as well as the world system, and as there's too much going on that the world is seeing the church. Church is supposed to be the light of the world. They're supposed to see us as Christ-like, but if the church is not like the world, like God, they're like the world. And why should they want to come and join something that's not right and still live like if it's like the world out there? And even since they come and been serving God.
How can God send the world in
right
to the church?
Right. The church is
and we're that. Doing, brother, the church is doing the same thing this world is doing. They're cussing
right.
out folk. They're shacking up. They're spreading AIDS. They're homosexuals in church, lesbians in church. You're doing the same thing.
Yeah.
Yes.
In
yes.
the house
yes.
of God
true, you're right.
that is
absolutely.
Out in the street.
That's so true. That's so true.
So why would God send the world to the church? For them to what? Jesus said, now you've made children of hell worse than yourselves.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's it.
Is, the world is in the church, which meaning that, let's go back to principalities. The majority of people that I go around, like I go to churches here, majority of people in the church nowadays they don't believe in principalities. You tell somebody about a principality, got somebody acting certain kind of first thing they'll say, "Oh man, you crazy." And see, that's the problem right now. Satan's biggest thing, he wants people to he deceives. See, the only power he have is deception.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
He can deceive you out your head. He can deceive you so blind you would think you God, you would think you a God, and you'd be up Satan all the time.
That's right.
We don't, okay, around here, where I stay at, here in Arkansas, where I stay at, I mean, they have revival meetings and stuff like that. I'm a minister myself. The majority of revival meetings that I go attend and stuff, the youth be there. But when the youth come there, it's like, okay, we talk about the women's and how they dress. We know that a woman, let's be real, Christians, let's speak the truth. A woman, let's say, according to the Bible, cover yourself up decent. Don't call your brother in Christ a sin, which meaning that if you come to church with a dress so short he can see all down between your legs, which meaning that you're causing that brother to sin, a man. I see people considering selling drugs on church ground, smoking drugs on church ground. So which meaning that the devil say this, oh, man, I ain't messed up about that church because they're a joke. They ain't got no power. Mm-hmm. Which meaning that you can lay your hands on a million people and ain't nothing going to happen. See, like we was talking about the principalities in the church. Let's say the demon be in this person and he go stand before the preacher. Okay, the preacher lays hands on him. Come out in the name of Jesus. Okay, the demon can tell the next demon, okay, make this dude think he done really cast us out. Make her stop. Okay, you jumping this person, you jumping the next person. That preacher done really thought he done did something, but after a while, you see that same lady they laid the hands on. Tell me why she's still acting doing the same thing.
Because the devil can't cast out the devil.
Right.
Hey.
Anytime Jesus came on the scene, the devil cried out, oh, my God, why are you here to torment us before time? And we're supposed to walk in a level of holiness to the point that the devil should be uncomfortable, even in your very presence. You walk in the room, oh, I got to go. Why you got to go? Oh, because something just walked in here. Yeah, I'm supposed to agitate you.
Mm-hmm.
You're not supposed to be able to sit down and have no 20-minute, 30-minute, 45-minute conversation with me, and I'm a man of God, walking in holiness with the Holy Ghost in me. The only way you're supposed to be able to do that is if I'm witnessing to you. That's the only way. Otherwise, we can just sit around and we just talk and kick it like boys and everything. No, I'm supposed to agitate. Man, hey, brother, I like you, but hey, no, it's just something about you that I just uncomfortable. And like you said, and I want to challenge you, in Arkansas, you two brothers, seek God for all of his righteousness.
Yes.
And then let God send revival through you in Arkansas.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yes.
Seek the face of God, not the hand. Seek the face of God. Get in his face. Lord, I present my body a living sacrifice. I'm not saying you're not. Please. I'm not telling you you're not. But I'm just encouraging you and challenging you. Because the Holy Ghost is telling me to challenge you, brothers. Because you're looking for somebody to come to Arkansas to start revival. And God says, I want you to start revival.
All right. All right. All right. Amen.
That's it,
Amen.
That's it, right there.
That's
be
your
the example.
That's your mission. Yeah. Thank you.
Be the example. Because the person standing out there like y'all.
To Arkansas. What happened to them guys? I don't know. They must have been with Jesus.
That's
what people are supposed to look at us and say, man, that man been with Jesus. My wife
That's
and I went to a church the other day, and Elise said, oh, Pastor Amica, you look so good. I said, yeah, thank you. She said, well, that's what happened when you've been with Jesus.
Hey, yes, Lord.
That's right.
Yes.
You can tell.
That's right.
You can tell.
All right.
You can tell
that's
somebody
right.
that's constantly praying and walking in the things of God and being a part of everything that God is doing. It's somebody that really has a heart for God. You can tell because let me tell you something. What you're going to do is find yourself by yourself. Now, I don't mean that in a negative way, but what I do mean is, you know, you're going to be like, oh, well, you know, I thought this person or that person or, you know, they should be able to encourage me or uplift me or this, that, and the other. Let me tell you something about Jesus. Jesus had a whole bunch of people with him, but Jesus was by himself. Now, I'm not saying he was by himself because God wasn't with him or the Holy Ghost wasn't with him. No, they were always presently with him. But the people themselves were never on the same page with Jesus. And he constantly knew he was always by himself. Why do you think when he went to go pray, he didn't take anybody to go pray with him when he went to pray? He took them to go to the little mountain or whatever. Okay, sit right here and watch. I'm going up here. I'm going to pray. Okay, go across the water. I'm going to meet you over there on the other side. Because he had to get that time with him and God. And that's where we find ourselves. Now, if you find yourself in the big old crowd with a whole bunch of people, and everybody loving you, and everybody is happy and dappy, and everything is great, reevaluate, reassess yourself. I'm not saying that to hurt you now, but what I am saying is, majority of those people then, 9 times out of 10, it's not going to be who they appear to be. It's going to be wolves and sheep clothing. Because you find Jesus was never in the crowd. The crowd was with Jesus. Jesus wasn't with the crowd.
Yep.
The crowd was with him, but he wasn't with them. He always took himself apart from them. He always, okay, I got to go over here and pray. Okay, I got to go over here and receive from the Father. Okay, all right, we're going to do this, and we're going to pray, and we're going to preach and teach and all this other great stuff, and then I got to go over here by myself because he had to keep himself holy. He had to separate himself from those people. He could not allow them to be able to infect him with what's on the inside of them. And that's what you'll find yourself doing. If you find yourself with these people, Christian or non-Christian, it don't matter. You'll find yourself with these people, and what's on the inside of them is not where it really needs to be. And trust me, I'm not where I need to be. Nobody really is. God is working on all of us, to tell you the truth. Now, there may be some of us who done got a little more work than others, but we all got an area where God can go, hop right there. See, you thought you had arrived. Right there. That right there is the next area we need to tackle. There's everybody that has an area like that. And if you find a person, men and women of God, if you find a person who tell you that they ain't got no area that needs to be worked on, that they don't ever do anything wrong, they don't ever say anything wrong, let me tell you something. You done found a perfect person. You find a person like that, you found a perfect being. And the last time I checked my Bible, it said that the only perfect one was Jesus. He was the only one without sin. Jesus was the only one. The Bible says if we then tell people that we're without sin, then that makes us the truth and God a liar. And God can't be a liar. He's only the truth. So if we then turn around and say that, that's a lie.
Let me say this, because the Bible, Matthew 5 and 44, 45, I believe I'm going. Let me get my Matthew 5 and 40.
That you may be the children of your Father, which is in
heaven. No, 5 and 40, 48 says, be ye therefore perfect.
Therefore perfect. Mm-hmm.
Even as your Father.
Right.
Now watch this. That is a process.
Mm-hmm.
That requires a process. And then God is the one who have the ruler.
Mm-hmm.
He's the one who say, when you're perfect in this area. And then when he perfects you in Psalms 138 and 8 says, I will perfect that which concerneth you. So you look at Stephen Amaker and you say, well, okay, he's not perfect. But God says, but in this area, he's been perfected. In that, and then what the thing is about with God is when he's perfecting you, and then Paul said we strive for perfection.
Yes, we strive to perfection. That's right.
Strive to. We're working on being perfect in the eyes of God. That's the point. In the eyes of God and not in the eyes of men.
That
goes for each and every one of us. No matter what we do here on this earth, we got to always understand there's an opportunity for temptation. There's an opportunity for us to fall. But, you know, the Bible does tell us, although a righteous man falls 7 times, the Lord will pick him right back up.
Yes.
He'll pick you right back up. Now, I'm not telling you, oh, you willfully sin, because Jesus already took away the sin nature. But what I am saying is, if there was no way that we could ever do or say anything wrong, I beg to say it, then how in the world did a person like David, who was a man after God's own heart, sin with that head? How did that happen? I mean, this man walked with God. He was praying. He played all. I mean, he was with him constantly. I mean, he was a judge. He was a prophet priest. How in the world did this happen to him?
Because his heart was repentance. God, I messed up.
Yeah.
Lord,
exactly. But see, that's what I'm saying. We can all find ourselves in a situation like that, and it may not be as apparent as we think it may be. It may be something that we believe is totally innocent, but it's wrong. It may be something that we go, oh, there's no harm in this. And let's be honest. When we talk to people about something they did or said, there's nothing wrong with that. If we talk to people about something the Bible tells them, there's nothing wrong with that. But you know when it becomes sin? If God didn't tell us to do it.
Mm-hmm.
If he didn't tell me to go over there and tell you something, that's wrong. If he didn't tell me to sit down and have a conversation with you, that's wrong. If he didn't tell me to go over there and help you build this house, that is wrong, because maybe he didn't want me to help you build a house. Maybe he wanted me to let you build a house by yourself. So I'm not talking about no you going out there and fornicating and doing all this other stuff, but what I am saying is you can do something that you believe is totally innocent and it's actually wrong. It's wrong because he didn't say do it.
Now, watch this, what you just said. I had a minister come to me, and I was telling him, I said that, you know, I don't go to a lot of churches because the Spirit of the Lord is not really there. And,
right.
And they're dealing in areas of demonic influence and what have you, and I don't go. So the man said, well, come on, let's go to these churches and tell them, you know, go in there and cry loud, spare not. I said, no, brother, you can't do that.
Right.
If God didn't tell you to go in, he didn't
that's
assign
right.
you. If he assigned you, then he's going to back you up. But it's
right.
not our responsibility, and it's not our job, as the brother was saying in the beginning. It is not our responsibility just to walk in church and say, oh, no, you're wrong. All of y'all wrong.
That's right.
All of y'all. No, because if God didn't tell you to do it, then you out of order.
That's
yep.
right.
Right.
It's order. You got to go by order. Ah.
That's it. But if he tell you, go in this church and tell them, come out of your sin.
That's it.
And God giving you 30 days, get it right. Otherwise, he's going to shut it down. If he tell you to do it, then all you go in is just say what God say and walk out the door. In 30 days,
right.
if they don't do it, you see the place closed up. And if not, then guess what? Because you went in on your own steam and rebuked
right.
the people of God. And you're wrong.
Mm.
You're wrong. We have to be careful of what our assignment is.
Ah, that's right. Stay in your lane. Stay
yeah.
what God told you to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like
you.
Be mindful.
Yeah.
Because when we are out of order, when we're out of order and we're doing something that we shouldn't be doing, you better believe God going to deal with you. You better believe it, because if he didn't say do it, he going to deal with you.
And you hypocrite.
And also, when he said that about going in somebody else's church, the Bible tells us that him is wise when it's so. I mean, you got to have the wisdom of God to go in and be used of God. God give you wisdom. And just like you said, you don't go in there and tell them, just blare it out at once. But God give you wisdom on how to
explain yourself. And if that's your assignment, he's going to give you the wisdom, what to say, and how to say.
Right.
That's right.
Like you said, so that you will win souls, that the people will stand up and say, Lord, we repent. Not,
right.
get that fool out of here.
No.
Right.
you don't want that. But
that's
you
right.
want when you minister the word of God that it brings conviction and repentance.
Yeah.
Right. And people say,
that's
hey,
what
the Lord has spoken to us today. We hear the voice of God.
Yeah.
I know you're right, preacher, because God is always going to confirm his word. And you get up and say it, somebody's going to get up and say, yes, 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 you're right, you're right. Church, come on, let's repent. That's why God says David was a man after his own heart, because David was first to repent.
Let this stuff keep going on and on.
Lord, I messed up. Oh, my God, please forgive me.
Watch this.
If David could repent so fast without the Holy Ghost, how come you can't repent? And you say you got
the Holy Ghost. All right.
That's it right there. Well, what we got to understand, though, is the problem that we're really facing out here in this world. We have too many people who are not loving on these people that need correction. They need for us to love them into the body because they have enough problems. I mean, people in the world have told these people to know, you're dirty, you're filthy, you ain't no good. You ain't never going to be no good. You ain't never going to get up. You're going to always be down. This is the way it is. And just deal with it. And you ain't going to never have nothing in life. And you might as well just forget it and give up. I mean, they've had enough of that. So then you come in the church. And you're supposed to be a part of God's kingdom. Tell them, you're not welcome here. Mm-mm, you can't come in here. Now, we don't accept your kind up in here. Mm-mm, no. Everything in here is clean, and you dirty, and you filthy, and we don't want you coming in here contaminating us. If somebody on the street, and I'm going to say this, and I'm going to say it boldly, because that's the only way I can say it. I can only say it boldly. I can't say it any other way. And if I make some enemies, well, be it. Jesus made enemies everywhere he went. But anyway, if you go up in a church, and you find some people that come up in that church, and they contaminate all of the holy people, that means these people weren't so holy. I'm going to tell you that right now. If you got somebody that can come from the outside and come on the inside and tear down and destroy everything God has put on the inside of you, you were not so holy in the first place. You were one of those people that we're talking about behind the veil, covering up and pretending to be something that you're not. Because there's no way that somebody can just come in and take everything God done put in you and tear that thing down, and now you ripping and running and you to and fro and everywhere doing what you should not be. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways.
Let me tell you about that. Because first of all, you don't get divorced overnight. Nobody gets divorced overnight.
No.
Right. Today, me and my wife together, we loving and everything, and then tomorrow I come and say, I want a divorce. Where did it come from?
You already were thinking those thoughts.
And entertaining and flirting with the idea for days and weeks and months, and some people for years.
So
like you said, if you could come in, and so then those people in there was already flirting with the idea. I want to sin. And then all you need is somebody to come in and say, okay, y'all, it's okay to drink.
That's it.
I'm on my way to the liquor store right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay to smoke. You pulling your cigarette out your bag right then. It's okay to shack up. Boo, come on over to the house. Meet me after church. We're going to get it on. It's all right for you to have a lesbian wife and a lesbian homosexual husband. Come on over.
Let's address the issue you said, though. The person that came in the church didn't contaminate them. They were already contaminated. They didn't contaminate you from the outside coming in. You was already like that. All you was doing was waiting on the door ahead.
I want somebody to tell me I can do it. Just come on in and tell me I can do it. And now that preacher done told me. Who told Dr. Bishop, Apostle, Blabbermouth told me that I can do it. And guess what? I'm doing it because he told me, and he's a man of God.
Now it's two guys.
I know he's a man of God because he told me it was okay to sin. He's not a man of God. If he tell you it's okay to sin, he's a demon. He's a devil. Get away from him. Run.
That's right.
You're the god of this world, Satan.
That's it.
They don't mean no harm. They just so confused. That's what they meant when they said that they really mean Satan.
Mm-hmm.
So, but they don't know what they're talking about, which meaning that I know.
Oh, man. See, now, you done messed up. You done messed up. You listen, programming your computer remind you, Deliverance by Faith Saturday at 5 o'clock. We're going to be talking about who is that other. But see, we just finished.
Uh-huh.
Who is the God you serve?
Uh-huh.
Who is the God you serve? Now, what we were talking about, evangelists, is that people are calling the demon that they serve God.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That has become their God. So what's the God you serve? Oh, I serve the God of alcohol. Mm-hmm. I serve the God of nicotine.
Yep.
I serve the God of homosexuality. And when you go to church, that God that is over that church, that demon that has presence, that's what you shouting. Watch this. And the Lord spoke to me recently. He said, you have to look and listen and watch people. He said, because the devil got a new trick now. Mm-hmm. He is imitating the saints of God by speaking in tongues.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You think that person is, look at him. He's speaking
mm-hmm.
in tongues.
Ah, thank you for saying that. Whee! Thank you. Ooh, Lord Jesus.
And if you don't look and listen and
that's
discern,
right.
You will hear, you will think that's the Holy Ghost, and it's not the Holy Ghost. It's a demon.
That's
fooling
right. You. The brother said earlier that he's deceiving. He's deceiving the body. Oh, brother, I thought you was filled with the Holy Ghost. No, you're filled with a demon.
A demon. You're still right. Ooh,
they're
Lord,
shouting,
thank you.
They're running, they're falling out, they're doing all this stuff under demonic influence.
That's right.
Them terrors
that's
that the
right.
Lord spoke of in that parable, that's the terrors in the week. Which meaning that the guy told, he said, let's put them, can we go put them up? He said, no, let them stay there. Let them grow up together.
No, and he'll do the separating. Hey.
Right. Yes, come on now. Let him do his job.
Listen.
You ain't got to say nothing. Just walk in, preach and hold.
Just walk in,
proclaiming the word of God. And see, what's the problem? Watch this, preachers. Watch this. Because the gospel has been so watered down. And what is being preached today is a watered down gospel. Because it's been so diluted, the glory of God has lifted off the church.
Exactly.
There's only one thing that ushers in the glory, and that's the real straight out word of God. That's the only thing. Bring the glory to the house of God. When you preach the adulterated, unadulterated gospel, that brings the presence of God in. But when you preach junk, this watered down junk, it ain't even fit to be called food.
Food,
yeah.
Come on.
Amen. That's right.
Amen.
So what you just said
is
so true. We can't go in the house
that
of God
is.
Day in and day out. You cannot presently do that. You cannot go in God's house, the true house where God is representing. I don't mean it's his house because the Bible tells us you can't make a house big enough for me. You can't make a drink good enough for me. You can't do anything good enough for God. He said, if I needed some water, I wouldn't even tell you. You can even get it. But what we do understand and what we do know is if you go to a house that God has his hand over, or his hand on, where he's filling that place and saturating that place, you cannot go in that building day in and day out for 20 and 10 and 50 and 60 years and be the same way. You cannot do it. There's no way you can constantly go in that house where you know somebody is preaching the true word. They will not be able to stay there. They will not. You cannot stay the same way if you constantly go into a house of God. Day in, it won't happen.
Mm-hmm. Jesus said to cleave through the word.
Yeah, that's almost like the pastor.
Cleave by the word.
Yeah, you hit some key points there about the church. I was just reminding of what God said about telling the church to go back to the book of Acts, go back to the apostle doctrine. And the church got out of the apostles' doctrine. They didn't got it, like you said, they got watered down ministries. It's not,
oh,
the power
right
of God is not in it, but they're not in the church like it's supposed to be deliverance. The house is supposed to be delivered, but you got people in there not delivered, and they still in their same mold. They're acting, they put an act on. They're not having really a form of godliness because they deny the power thereof. They won't let the word go in to clean the house. The house needs to be cleaned from the front door to the back door. It needs to be cleaned for the church for God to get in it.
That's
God
right.
Wants to get in the church, but the church won't let them come in, won't let God come
yes.
in. They got Mr. Bob all over the church. They ain't got where God wanted to be because God wanted in this last day, he wanted to do a quick work. He said, I'm going to do a quick work. The church that's ready to receive him, he's going to come in, and he's going to do what he wants to do. He's going to bring the church back to that first love. When they lost the first love, there's no power. No demonstration there. People have been preached to, beaten, battered, and everything else. And not letting deliverance come in. So God wants to send his word in to deliver the people. People are still the same mold. They still act the same. They ain't what they want to be and hurting. You got people sick and diseases. They're all in the church and they want to be healed. That's what the house of God is for, to come bring. The house of God is a hospital. They come to deliver. But if they ain't got the right person in there, they ain't got the right position in there, well, they can't be healed, they can't be set free. They go out the same way they came in. That's what the church set was like that. But he want to bring back the Holy Ghost back into the church. The church got to have the Holy Ghost come in to set people free. People are bound.
But tell the man of God, the Holy Spirit ain't going to dwell in no filthy place, though.
That's right.
The way God. I just look back at when y'all was all saying that. I know one time that God had such anointing on me, so anointing, and I went to the prison. I have a prison ministry, and I go to and I minister. And the men there seen, they was when I walked in the door, and they said, "It's a glow on you." See, they can tell what you've been with God. When your complexion, where your complexion at, where your face light up. If it's clear, they'll know somewhere. That's the anointing on you. That's that anointing that people that they was out to have. That's something that when you make it before God and you spend time with God, you pay the price. You just don't go and just spend a little time, but you pay the price with God. And I gave up. And when you give up something, you're dedicating yourself to God. You're giving up everything to follow after Him. Jesus spent all night with his father at Gethsemane. He spent all night with him. He spent labor before God. And then when you lay before God, that's a freshness come over you. You walk among people, they feel the power off of you. They feel the anointing off of you. You lift your hands, the anointing falls, and you bring that anointing into the service, and it'll kill out, rule out everything that's not of God, because God's anointing flows, and the devil cannot stop. But God got in you because you got power over the works of the devil. The devil knows that because he said greater is he that's in you. It's the greater one that lies in us. He's greater above all principalities and powers. So that way the devil can't know. He knows that something about you is different. And the devil recognized, because if he recognized it, when the man was over, the man in the legion was up and went across the other side was in the rock, he knew Jesus offhand. Those demons knew him for us. And the people thought these demons that when these swine, they thought they was they'd be destroyed. But today, those same ancient demons are still alive. They're still running rapidly in the churches everywhere.
Yeah.
And that's what the church is bound by, demonic spirits are coming in. They can't recognize. You got all people there. You got people in there that work just like a snake, boy. You got people that twisting and going. You got homosexual, lesbian. You got all that in the church. We in the last hour, and we've seen everything that's happened, like the Bible proclaimed it will be in. We're in the book. We're in the last book right now. We're in the book of Revelation. The church got to come up to the point. They got to come up to the point and seek God. A person that seeks God, he gets the blessings of God up on his life. God anoints you, keep you in the. You get in his presence, the anointing come up on people, be amazed what come out of it. When God speaks, they'll listen. But you got church today, it's not listening.
You said something so clear to us. What we got to really understand is we're talking about you going in these different places, right? And you can find all of this stuff in the body, right? You can find all of this stuff that should not be there in there, right? Why can you find all of that stuff in there that should not be there in there? Because just like in the Bible days, they rejected Jesus. They threw him right on the get out of this city, get out of our church, get out of our house, don't come in here, don't tell me nothing about holiness, don't tell me nothing about God, don't tell me what I need to be doing, don't tell me I ain't doing nothing right. Yeah, I'm a priest, I'm a scribe, I'm a Pharisee, I'm a Pharisee. I know what I'm doing. I know the right way. You ain't telling me the right thing. You get on up out of here. That's why we find these places like they are, because God will send somebody in there to tell you the truth. Oh, he'll send somebody in there to say, hey, listen here, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. But what they're going to do with that person is the outcome. They're going to throw you right out like they threw Jesus, right? Crucify him. Crucify him. Kick him all up out of here. Because we like being bound. We like where we are. We like what we're doing. We like going into the places we go. We like saying the things we say. That's why you find so many of these places like that. It's not that God don't go in those places. Oh, he goes in. But they throw him right out. Just like when they were trying to kill Jesus all the time, because he was saying the right thing, and he had to go through the midst of them to get somebody to stop him from trying to tear him down when he's telling them the right thing. He's trying to help you, you want to be bound. He's trying to save you, you want to stay a slave. He's trying to lift you up, you want to be put back in the same place. You got to go back to Egypt. They wanted to go back. Hey, I don't want to be out here in the wilderness. And, oh, my God, that I have died. And, oh, my goodness, I'm hungry. Oh, my goodness, I'm thirsty. Oh, my goodness, you are a slave in Egypt. Are you serious? You were a slave. You were not free. You were bound. And you want to go back to being bound. That's the problem.
Yep, you're exactly right. Mm-hmm. They want to go right back to Egypt. But God don't make them.
You know, stop. When God brought... When,
you know, they just do it. I mean, God makes ways, but like the sister said, out of all that God went through to get these people out of there, they still wanted to turn back and go. It's like, now, when God moves you from somewhere, be aware that the enemy going to be, the enemy left Jesus for a season.
Mm-hmm.
He going to leave you for a season, and you... The devil might be riding in your passenger seat with you tomorrow. He might be in your house with you today.
Right.
Today, don't let the day get away. But the whole this is the plight of the children of God from the beginning of time. Moses led the children of Israel out of Egypt, out of bondage, out of slavery. Mm-hmm. And while they was in the wilderness, they said, man, shoot, I want to go back to Egypt. I'd rather stay in Egypt. I like it more than Egypt. And you got people, just like you say, can you imagine a guy been in jail? This is so bad. Because you got people who have been in jail for 5-10 years. And they have gotten so accustomed to prison life that when they say, all right, you're going home tomorrow. And they say, no, I don't want to go home. Why? Because I done got so accustomed to jail, I'd rather stay here. I'd rather stay locked up in
prison.
That's
right.
So that's why when they get out, they go and rob a bank.
They go right back in.
Because I want to go right, that's it. I'm come on comfortable.
They wanted to go back to Lola Ball. Jesus.
Amen.
Yeah. I know exactly what you're saying because I work in the prison system with them. I do prison ministry myself. And I see them, I ask them, didn't I just see you out? Didn't I see you walking the street? What are you doing back in here? Couldn't make it on the outside. From one thing to another, they go to telling you. But everything y'all say today, Lord, I have really enjoyed this top. They went from help in the physical, emotional, and moral. I thank God for it this morning. I thank God. That's why so many things was coming up to keep this program from going on. But I say not so.
Amen.
It was going on. Amen. Because I'm standing to the word of God. Oh, Lord, I want to thank each and every one of you all that came in today and shared with us. Because, this is really good. I just thank God for it. I thank God for my ears up here. I want to thank every guest that came on. that spoke. And if y'all still want to talk, we can. But I just want to let you know in advance that I appreciate you and I thank you. And thank you, Minister Pastor Steve, because I heard you last night, spoke with you last night.
Right.
And I'm still fired up from the Holy Ghost last night and being on one accord, because I be saying that right here where I'm at, here in Houston, you know, that we have to be on one accord. We can't.
You know, I didn't know that was you. I didn't know was you. We're friends and everything, and then when I seen your picture, I said, oh, that's who that is. Oh, so that was a pleasant surprise. That is a pleasant surprise. I got to show my wife that hat you got on in that picture. That she can work that. Brothers in Arkansas, pull up my page, Deliverance by Faith, and I want you guys to keep in contact with us. Keep in contact with me, and let's just see what the Lord say and what the Lord do. I would like to continue to speak into your lives if you would allow me.
Okay.
And what was your name, the brother from Arkansas?
My name is Demetric Glenn. Demetric.
Demetric?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. What's the other brother's name?
He's gone as Evangelist Prophet Richard Bryan.
Oh, okay.
He's on
Blog
Talk.
He really was a blessing.
No, he don't have a show. He usually come on my program.
Oh, okay. Okay. Uh-huh. Okay. Okay. Point him our way.
Yes,
and,
sir. I sure will.
Y'all be blessed. I need to do some stuff. So be blessed.
Amen.
Let me leave. But it was wonderful, wonderful, wonderful sharing with the people of God, the things of God. I'll feast on this for the rest of the day. We're fasting today, so this really just helped me more. Now I'm going into prayer in a little while and just to seek the face of God about what he wants us to do. Prophetess Berent, you're supposed to be fasting, and we're going to be fasting Friday up until from midnight Thursday to 3 o'clock Friday, before service Friday night. So get ready. Women, men of God, you're welcome to fast with us Friday. We're going to service, and the Lord's going to have us minister in the service, and we expect an outpour. We're just expecting an outpour, manifestation of God's glory, that he will come and just manifest himself. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you right now. You're the God in Houston, the same God in Houston, the same God in Arkansas, the same God in South Florida. And we reverence your name. We give glory. We sing hallelujah to your name. Hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. You're worthy. We thank you. We thank you for your presence.
Thank you. Yes,
we are blessed people because of your presence. We can feel your presence moving and living inside of us. And we honor. Let us not do anything that will contaminate your presence in our bodies.
Yes, Jesus.
Help us to continue to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto you. Accept our sacrifice of praise.
Yes,
accept our life. Accept our worship. Accept our lifting of our hands. Let no sin be on our hands when we lift our hands before you, so that you reject our praise, so that you will reject our worship. You said sin stinks in your nostrils. So we want to come before you with clean hands.
Yes.
Clean heart. Clean mind, clean spirit.
Amen.
Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
We want to live holy. Yes. Not according to our definition of holy, but to your